Thank you, brother. It's good to be here this evening, to see your smiles that were promised. Well, there are a few out there. I appreciated the sermon that our brother delivered this morning, the purposes of prayer. And there were a great many listed. I want to talk about another word that starts with the letter P, and it's not the purpose of prayer, but the word patience. And starting off with the definition of patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I, at times, am not very good with patience. That's not one of my strong suits. I faced with a decision, a dilemma, a circumstance, I would rather make a informed decision and stick with it. And sometimes that leaves little room for patience. But as I thought about patience and what the Lord, I believe, has laid on my heart, I thought back to the people physically that have labored with me throughout my life to develop a degree of patience. And first and foremost, each of us have gathered strength and patience from our parents, sometimes willingly, sometimes grudgingly, sometimes defiantly, but to a measure, we developed patience in dealing with them. I had good parents, and Steve, Jim, and I, if we had strengths, it was because of their early work. And then I thought about early on as I grew a little bit, I had a scoutmaster, Earl G. Sperry, a DO, a doctor here in Independence that spent a great deal of time with the Boy Scouts, and I did too. And dealing with adults, older, or scouts your age, or those especially that are growing up, you develop patience. I thought about the teachers that I had contact with. A couple of them I did not really like. But most of them were there to do their job, and they did a pretty good job with me, with what they had to work with. And I'm sure you too had teachers such as that. I thought about my time in the Army and a number of drill sergeants that in the beginning, you couldn't stand them. In fact, you grew to almost hate their presence. But in time, if you listened to them and what they were teaching, what they were grinding into your psyche, it was for a purpose. And then now, with patience, I am continuing to develop towards 52 years of patience in marriage. And Pat's doing a pretty good job. We all learn a great deal from our husband, from our wife, as we share and face life together. So patience is something that we use physically, but what I want to talk about tonight is patience spiritually in our life. And my brother Dan asked for a title for the sermon, and if I were going to put a working title, it would be Have Patience with God's Plan and Yourself. So I'd like to begin by looking at Malachi 3, verses 15 and 18. And we're going to be doing a little reading tonight. Malachi 3, 15 through 18. And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And certainly he was looking at the world that he lived in at that time. And as we look at the world that we live in and the pressures that are above, the pressures that are in our midst, and those that are welling up from the bottom, we see wickedness, it seems to be set up. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And the Lord is talking to Malachi, but he's also talking to all that have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he deals with us as a daughter or as a son, and how that when he comes, he'll make up his jewels a special place. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And as we look at the world around us today, we wonder about that difference between the wicked and those that serve God. And it seems to be a blurred existence that is in favor of those that are without God. In Luke 8, verse 15, but that on a good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. We are to bring forth something that does not exist naturally within us. And to do so, we have to look forward to that developing of a good ground, a nurturing of that ground, which is our responsibility and our duty. As we assemble here tonight or this morning, we have nurtured our ground to a degree, dependent upon the word of God, the voice that delivers it, and how you receive it to the inside. And to look forward to bearing fruit spiritually with patience. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. What is a heath? It is a miniature deer that inhabits the desert. In the Philippines, they have what they call pygmy deer, and they only stand like about so, about the size of a small German shepherd. And they're cute and adoring. The doe that I met, she'd come right up to you, eat out of your hand. The buck, he stood off at a distance and measured who you were. But that's what a heath is. And it describes them, those that have not put their trust in the Lord, as dwelling in a desert place, not able to even see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Now, as you look at the world and the division you see between the worldly and those that adhere to and seek to grow within the confines and the path of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't watch yourself, you may begin to look at them as being blessed, receiving good when, according to the scriptures, they don't deserve that cut of the card. But the Lord goes on and says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Now, as you look at the soil, and my wife was talking to one of the other wives about what her grass looks like, and they may have to replant or to reseed. It is withering. It is dying because of the lack of water, dwelling in a parched place. This here says that as you adhere to the hope that is in the Lord, you are as a tree that is planted by a river, a continual flow of river to life. Have her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You and I, that is what the reason we come to church, to study, to learn, to pray, to share one with another, to testify, to witness, that we might show the fruit that God has blessed us with. And he has, and continues to each day of our life. We are to trust in God to be able to bear this fruit, but in the flesh, even though it seems like they get the best dealt hand, the easy path, it's not so. It is a shallow path, one that will not support life and definitely not fruit. Mosiah 11:23. Nevertheless, the Lord seeth fit to chasten his people. Yea, he trieth their patience and their faith. The Lord subjects us to the same world that those without Christ live in, and we with Christ, with a hope in our heart, dwell in the same world. But it's not the same world because we have a hope before us, something to look forward to. Romans 5:3-4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, as a calloused hand. Now, my hands are changing. I spent over 50 years as a mechanic, and I learned to handle, one of the things was heat. When you pick up something hot, you don't really grip it. You hold it, but you don't grip it. My wife used to marvel, at how I could take something out of the oven or off the burner, and it wouldn't bother me, because I had a calloused hand. I had developed a knack of holding heat, but not gripping it, just maintaining that grip. It's starting to hurt. My hands are changing. My life is changing. And physically, that happens. And spiritually, we may be in danger of changing also, learning how not to handle spiritual disappointments in our life, in the right vein, looking to the world for the immediate relief that seems to be right there on the cusp of a new day in the world. We administered to, Ricky and I, 4 people today. And it was a pleasure to administer to someone that stood in need of a spiritual help, a physical help, maybe a temporal help. And we held their faith with them up to God, and you also. And I thought about the 4 that we administered to. I thought about the time in the Philippines that Brother Charles Brantner and I visited a place called Pigdalhan. And it was new in the work. And we both preached. And someone desired administration. And so we honored that request. We laid hands on, began to pray. It was a good feeling. And we concluded our prayer, Charles and I, and we looked up, and there were 23 lined up behind this individual to be administered to seek God's blessing, not physically, but spiritually, to have their faith taken before Him, to seek a healing, a blessing materially, I don't know. But it was a special moment in life. Turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verses 18 and 19. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. The Lord Jesus Christ, when you made a commitment to him to be baptized in the water, laying on of hands as if by fire, and you invited Christ into your heart, you entered into a lifetime commitment to serve him, to honor him, to reach out. And the Lord reaches out through you this day. Your life, whether it be in your community, your workplace, your retirement home or facility, in the hospitals you visit, in the grocery stores, where you shop, even with your trash man. My wife has developed a special place with the trash man. During his hot weather, she has supplied them with a cold bottle of water every day they pick up. And in so doing, she is able to share with them some of her beliefs. She finds out some of their problems. And she made a commitment to pray for, what was his name? To pray for him and his problem physically. A physical problem in his life with family. You have marvelous expectations for your growth and your fruit, but you're also, as Paul said, an ambassador for Christ. to reach out daily to share what you know in your heart to be true. They don't have to accept it, but you believe it. And through your belief, through the hope that lies within you, through the patience and the experience that you exhibit, and the hope that you declare, others are blessed. It's a big world out there, a lot to cover. And the Church of Christ is expanding. We're a small group this morning, a representation of a larger group. This morning, as Brother Don spoke. But you think about all the plantings that the Lord has caused to take place within the world. You think about all the places that our ministry here visit in the United States that are isolated, that have not the opportunity to gather and to worship as you do. But yet, we send them forth through your tithing, through your offerings, to minister. And then overseas, the visitations that take place, the Church of Christ is growing by leaps and bounds, no, by a measured increase that the Lord Jesus Christ has determined as people accept him. We can't force it. All we can do is offer. Offer what we have. The love of Christ. Turn to Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. Jeremiah 12 and verses 1 and 2. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? You know, I've asked that question. I look at the fruit that that man or that woman or that group bears, and I ask, why did they prosper in the way? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art nearer in their mouth and far from their reins. Their desire is not in Christ. Their desire is not keeping the commandments. Even the basic tenets, the teachings of this nation, their desire is not founded in the law, not founded scripturally. They look to themselves for their power, and their desire is not in Christ. They may claim Christ with their mouth, but the fruit is not there. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Now, it's talking about a physical slaughter, a death, a laying down, a bloodletting. But that's not the day that it's really speaking about. There will come a day of judgment when what we see is not right, is judged. Not of Mike McGee, not of yourself, but of the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. And they're working towards that day of judgment without their desire of Christ in their heart. And it will be a day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. They don't believe they'll be called to task for the way they treat Christ, the decisions, the choices that they make. But you and I know that we will be judged. A man by the name of Leo Tolstoy, a Russian author, said, the strongest of all warriors are these two, time and patience. Time belongs to God, but patience we can attain too. We can allow God to work his perfect work, to work through us, to work through others, and to allow ourselves patiently to wait upon God, to serve him. And I may fail. You may fail. But through our reading of the scriptures, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, we know that through repentance, there is a way back to repent of our sins, to come clean before God, to seek him and his strength. So time we must leave with God, and patience we must claim in this pursuit of life. Turn to Isaiah 29, verse 13. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and have their lips do honor me, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. What is the marvelous work and wonder that we hold up as scripture, equal with the Bible? It's the Book of Mormon. The Lord has caused that to be opened after being sealed, to come forth and to instill his purpose once again, to be that second witness that Brother Buzz talked about last week, the second witness to the Bible, that his work is true and a witness to its truth as it moved throughout Israel, the tribes of Israel. He has not forgot about each and every one of them. Verse 8, it shall even be as when a hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awaketh, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. That is what the world without Christ is going through. They are empty on the inside and seek to be filled by that which will not last, that has no substance, that has no truth. They thirst and seek to fill themselves, to quench that thirst, but yet when they come to, when they awake, they are yet thirsty. They are yet hungry. So shall the multitude of all nations be that fight against Mount Zion. And what you and I represent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay yourself and wonder. Cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, he hath covered. Hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. They don't have the capability to search the depth and the length and the breadth of the teachings of God, because they won't accept. They accept only what they believe and what they desire. I said I have trouble with patience, attaining to patience. Aristotle said, patience is bitter, but the fruit is sweet. What I look forward to attaining, and what you look forward to, must be attained through patience in serving God. And then the fruit that is reserved for you and I will know to be sweet. Turn to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, unless he enables you or I to look within the heart of another, can know that heart, can judge that desire. We can judge fruit and know what path they're on. But to judge what is in their heart will take a thus saith the Spirit, a revealment of God. But the fruit can be judged and be known according to the word. Turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and starting with verse 1. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He's experiencing life. The short step, the shortfall, the toe that you struck against an unknown object, the pitfalls. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. He looked upon what they had, their authority, their power, what they were able to wield, accomplish in their strength. No bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covered them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. We don't receive an understanding of life without God. There's a physical life from birth till death, yes, for every man and woman, every child. But to understand the purpose of life here, physically, that it is before life evermore, you don't understand life without God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou canst them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awaketh, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He became ashamed of how far he had drifted from the purpose of life before his God. And he began to view himself as a beast of the earth instead of a man. He viewed himself as dust before his God. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. And as he looks at those that will perish, it's with a sad heart. It's not with a gleeful heart or pride. It's no room for pride. He's looking upon souls that unless they come to Christ through his effort or the scriptures or their pursuit of life everlasting, they will perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. When I look at the news reports I can get down in the dumps, literally, with how far I have drifted from what my parents taught me, my scoutmaster, the teachers I had, the drill sergeant, and what my wife continues to instruct me in. I can get in the depths of despair. But it is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and His healing spirit that lifts me, that'll lift you. And as Ricky and I administered to our brother over here as he sat this morning, you and I held him up to God that his spiritual strength be enlivened once again, that he be able to look past the periods of depression that hold him down. So as I look at patients, a man by the name of David G. Allen said, "Patience is a calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than what you have in mind." I do not determine the right order. I don't have it in me. But as I seek direction from God, as you and I come together to serve the purpose of God, to fulfill His will, whether we're a member of the council or the bishops, whether we're a member here at the Temple Lot local or a member in Panabo, Philippines, or in Africa, it makes no difference. We come together to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek Him and His purpose. Romans 7, verses 14 through 20. And I think our brother Roger referenced that a week ago in his, or 2 weeks ago, that the real war is the war against the flesh and the spirit. What I would do, I do not. And what I do not, I would. As Paul sought to fight his way out of that war, he found it. And as Nephi penned pretty much the same thing in his writings, he warred against the physical side of life to spiritually serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That war is there till we lay down, until we die. Third Nephi 11, verse 19. "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name." So, I have to learn to have patience with God's plan. I don't understand it all, but He's willing to share it. And with you too. In the Book of Mormon, it lays out the mysteries of God and who is given to know them. And finally, it says, "They're there that all may be revealed if we are right before God." Have patience with God's plan and your life. In parting, Winnie the Pooh said, "Rivers know this. There is no hurry. We shall all get there someday." Rivers continue to flow. They serve their purpose. You can't hurry a river. You can't speed it up. but it's there to flow to the open sea, to its end. And we, in our life, in our purpose, are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in God's plan. And I may fail you, and if I do, I hope that you'll be here to lift me up. And if you fail, it's my duty, my responsibility as a member to help lift you up also. We're all part of the same river flowing to the reward that is promised. And it is promised. And I thank you very much.